for me.
No, that was it. Oh. I uttered a mm-hmm, but my mic was off, so the fine folks of Lorain County did not get to hear that mm-hmm.
You look like you wanted to add something. That's why I wanted to leave it open. But regardless, time for us to head to the hotline, and we welcome in a gentleman that we haven't had on the show in quite some time. Rick Noland with the Medina Gazette joins us. Rick, always a pleasure to have you on, and we certainly want to dive into some NBA talk and the Cavaliers as well in just a bit. But, you know, Rick, I want to begin with a story that you wrote a little earlier today, and it's certainly something I know that a lot of people who follow Lorain County and Medina County football know a lot about by now. It was a real nice piece you wrote on the passing of Dave Rea. Anybody who spent any time covering Buckeye football, you certainly knew Dave, and Dave had so many incredible contributions to the program. Rick, what stood out in putting this story together?
Well, Dave and I go back the better part of 35 years, so we got to know one another pretty well. Dave was a unique individual. He didn't have much of a filter. If Dave thought something was right or something was wrong, he was going to tell you about it. And he was as honest as the day was long. His intentions were always good. Sometimes maybe you kind of question the delivery of the message a tiny bit. But Dave was all about the kids at Buckeye. He started their youth football program 24 years ago. Was it? Driving force behind it for a number of years, served as president of the Baseball Association for a number of years. But Dave, for the people out there that don't know him, Dave was a big, big man. He his weight got as high as 600 pounds at one point. He got it down to about 450, at which point doctors agreed that he was healthy enough to undergo gastric bypass surgery. Did that, but then ran into a number of health problems, ranging from staph infections to deterioration in the bones and in his feet and ankles, and was pretty much bedridden for the last 8 years of his life. He could not walk. He was in a life care center here in town. The mental torture he must have went through, his brain worked perfect. As his son said to me the other day, but his body was absolute garbage. It just didn't allow him to do anything. But even during that time, you know, the one thing Dave could do was use his phone and use his computer. And throughout those years, he kept meticulous stats for Buckeye and then Buckeye and the Brunswick football program. And, you know, that gave him a reason to go on, I think, if an oversimplification. But it was something that made him feel like he was still contributing to the programs, to the schools, to society in general. He passed away Monday at the age of 63. He's probably in a better place now, is the way I'm trying to look at it. Doctors could have perhaps taken some measures to extend his life. His son had to make the difficult decision that his dad had suffered enough, and let him move on to, you know, for those that believe, a better place.
Well, we certainly encourage everybody out there listening to check out the article in the Medina Gazette, and anybody who followed Buckeye football over the years, you knew exactly who Dave Rea was. And in my short time here at WEOL, I covered a couple of Buckeye football games, and let me just tell you, Dave was a guy that you wanted to get to know because he had all kinds of terrific information to pass along to you. I mean, between two deeps and stats, the whole nine yards, Dave had you covered if you were covering a Buckeye football game. Rick, we'll transition now into some NBA talk, and it seems like there is a new rumor that pops up every day about the NBA, when it might return. And, you know, I guess we'll throw that at, you know, there's a story earlier today about how some general managers are now talking about how they might get things going again in late July. I mean, gut feeling for you, you know, do you think there's going to be a continuation at the very least of the regular season?
The short answer is yes. The longer answer, though, is I think it's going to be a very abbreviated portion of it. Basically, in essence, 4 or 5 games to serve as basically almost an exhibition season. The games will count in the regular season, and I'm assuming, you know, affect playoff seeding should teams flip spots. But there really is no financial incentive or championship incentive for, you know, for teams like the Cavaliers or the Warriors or the Wizards or the Timberwolves to want to continue. If there are any games of any kind, and I think there will be, and I think we'll get a champion, provided another, you know, outbreak doesn't occur and throw that into a quandary. But for the teams that are lottery bound, you're going to be playing in empty arenas. So while it might sound exciting for some people, it's going to cost the owners money with no revenue coming in. So I don't know how they're going to do that. It sounds to me right now, although it changes daily, like you said, that all 30 teams will come back for a limited part. I personally might say just have 20 teams come back, or 22 teams that still have realistic chances of working their way into the postseason. You know, look, if the Cavs come back, what are they going to do? It makes no sense to win any games. They have the second worst record in the league. At this point, it makes little sense to play a guy like Kevin Love and risk a serious injury. From the opposite side, it makes even less sense for an unrestricted free agent like Tristan Thompson to play and risk an injury. I don't know that you're going to see teams like them and the others I mentioned, the Warriors, the Timberwolves. You're going to see a lot of players, you know, 5 through 15, I think, more than you're going to see 1 through 4, if that makes any sense. I'm not saying you're going to throw games, but why in the world would you want to try to win them at this point, especially if you're only going to play? And my thought all along is there's no way they're ever going to play more than 4 or 5, you know, maybe 6. And they will be used basically as practice dummies for the teams that are going to go into the postseason. And the other thing you have to consider, you know, the estimates I've heard have been on most occasions in the 3-week range of training camp to get ready to play games. Why would you as a player want to put yourself through 3 weeks of a training camp to play 5 games in Florida or Las Vegas and then go home? It really doesn't make a ton of sense to me to have them do that, other than, you know, they will, and it's a complex issue, save a little bit of the money, you know, on their salaries for this year. They've played 80% of their games, so money has started to go in escrow, a portion of the money anyway. And how much they'll make will be determined on how many of their remaining 17 games they play. But at this point, I think, I mean, if I'm the commissioner, and God knows I'm not, I'm playing regular season games just short, just enough, be it three, be it four, be it five, to get ready to the playoffs, and then I'm getting the playoffs started as soon as humanly possible, and I'm having teams play every other day until we get a champion.
Well, Rick, I think it's fair to say, regardless of what the plan is for the NBA to try and finish out this season, whether that includes regular season games or not, again, I think it's fair to say the focus for the Cavs is on next season. And, you know, with the future of some guys in question, Andre Drummond, Tristan Thompson, you know, how different could this Cavs roster look like next season?
Well, who knows? I don't think Andre Drummond's going anywhere. Nobody's going to pay him the $28.75 million that he can opt into. They weren't going to do it under ideal times. They're certainly not going to do it now. So I think he's back for sure. Tristan, I think he's more than likely gone. I don't think the Cavs are desperate for him to go, but I think their idea of what they would want to pay him to be part of what is really a team that hasn't even hit rock bottom of its rebuilding stage yet, it doesn't make sense to pay him what he thinks he's deserving of. And regardless, he's taking a pay cut from the $18 million he's making now. And that's going to be a pay cut from the highest bidder. You know, Kevin Love, who knows what happens there? He's still one of Cleveland's best players, but, you know, is he still going to be a viable contributor? And this team's 3 or 4 years away from doing much of anything. But on the flip side, you know, you don't want to trade him just to trade him. And his market value is probably lower than it was 2-3 years ago. So, you know, you may just be paying him $30 million a year, you know, to win 25 games. And, you know, on a good case scenario, 30. But a lot of uncertainty. You know, you have a tiny backcourt. You have Darius Garland, who, you know, is one of the guys who really would have benefited from playing the final 17 games straight through. And a few other guys, Kevin Porter Jr., you know, could have really benefited. But I don't know. I think this is a long haul for the Cavs. Right now, if the lottery were held today, they'd have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. But I don't think there's not even a clear number one pick in this draft, and it's not a very good draft. So, you know, it's a rough road to hoe they have in front of them, and you know, we've seen this time and again. This franchise has not won a playoff series that didn't involve LeBron since 1993, and quite frankly, they've only won 4 in their 50-year history that didn't involve LeBron. So, while 16 teams make the playoffs, they're still a long way away from being one of the 8 in the Eastern Conference that does.
You had referenced this earlier about Kevin Love, and I'm glad you brought this up because I think this is going to be a hot-button topic if the NBA has teams play out at least a few games of the regular season. Damian Lillard, of course, mentioned yesterday that if they're not in the playoff hunt, and if they're only given a handful of games to play, he said there's no way in the world he's playing. And, you know, again, I think that's interesting locally here, too, when it comes to a guy like Kevin Love, who doesn't exactly have the best injury history as a Cavs fan. I don't think anybody would want him to play those last 5 games because I don't really think we need to know where he fits in with this group. I don't think that's necessarily as important right now. I think those last 5 games are, you know, very important for maybe to some degree Drummond to see how he fits in because we don't have a large enough sample size with him, but maybe especially more for the guards that you referenced, right? I mean, Porter Jr., of course, Darius Garland and Colin Sexton to see how some of that might play out. I mean, I think it makes sense for those guys to play together, but for Kevin Love, I think it's way too big of a risk for him to play these last five games.
Yeah, and look, why do you even really want to play your best players much at all? And this sounds terrible to say, risk winning games. you know, they have the second worst record in the league, but the teams that are 3, 4, 5, and 6, those could change if you know they go in four, if they go 4-1 and everybody else goes 0-5 or 1-4. You know, it helps that the worst three teams all have the same odds now, but you want to, well, it's only 14%. You'd rather have a 14% chance than a 12.7% chance, you know, and with the possibility of picking five slots lower than where you end up. It just sounds terrible. I can't, every loss is important. It's, you know, you've come this far, basically. You're 19-46. Does anybody in Northeast Ohio really care if the Cavs win games, if they come back? Very few people even care if they do come back this season. I wouldn't play Kevin Love. Kevin Love is one of the guys that's been here most often working out, though. Maybe he wants to play, but, you know, sometimes you just got to – you got to do what's right for your long-term benefit, and if that means telling them no, you're not playing, I wouldn't have a tremendously huge issue with it. I think this is one of those instances where, you know, when you play sports, you're supposed to play to win, but when you're doing this in this completely unique time, you know, and you haven't played since March 10th or March 11th, why bother is kind of the way I look at it. You know, you're not going to get anything from winning, and you're potentially going to lose something from doing it. So if in fact they come back, everybody, I mean, if they will come back for playoffs, then let's just get it over as quickly as possible and get on with the postseason, which I think there will be genuine interest in. I don't think there's a ton of interest in watching it 4 or 5 regular season games in which they're basically going to be preseason games for many, many, many teams.
And of course, that begs another question, too. Depending on how long that takes, when would they start next season? And that's a question nobody really knows the answer to right now, but exactly. We could potentially be looking at starting at Christmas next year, too, which would be
I think, you know, the truly scary thing is, what if they get this thing going again and then somebody tests positive again, say at the beginning of the second round, what do you do then? If, you know, what if it's LeBron James who tests positive? Not only does that a significant loss to the Lakers, what about everybody they've come in contact with in the last, you know, week or however long you want to say? You have to suspend play league wide again, or do you just continue to test players who have been exposed to it but may have not yet be showing signs of it and can continue to play? Those are questions that somebody a whole heck of a lot smarter than me is going to have to come up with answers for. And what happens to if a guy just says, I don't feel safe, I don't want to play? Can they be forced to play? And you know, what's the public perception of that? I think, you know, people in the general public, you know, kind of look at these guys as foolproof, and the general public's not risking anything. They're not even allowed to go to the games, and then maybe people would risk it and go, but they have a choice. You know, if you're on a championship contending team, and you're questioning this a while, you're going to not look really good to too many of your teammates and your coaches if you voice any kind of concern about whether you should be part of it.
Yeah, going to be very interesting to see how all of this plays out and, again, how that might affect next season as well. Rick, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully the next time we have you on, we're talking about a live sporting event of some sort and not projecting.
Exactly. All right, guys, stay safe.
You do the same. Thanks, Rick. Thank you very much. Again, that's Rick Noland with the Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the